Not using crutches. I'm Chris Quimby, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this special program today, this special Thursday 9/11 edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Let me ask you a question here at the top of the broadcast. Are you prepared to address the most challenging cultural issues of your time? That's a question that Dr. Albert Mohler asks in his recent book, Culture Shift, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truths. And so we're going to be talking about that book, and we're going to be talking about a specific chapter in that book with life with Dr. Mohler here in just a few minutes as we get up to the first break. Then Dr. Mohler will be joining us on the program. So it gives us a couple of minutes to set this up and a couple of minutes to get a couple of announcements out of the way here as well. Let me start by saying that you certainly will have an opportunity during the broadcast today to call in and speak with Dr. Mohler yourself. As I said, he'll be joining us live here in just a few moments after the first break, and we'll make some time in there for you to be able to call and ask him a question. Let me give you that number so you can jot it down so you'll be ready. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. A lot of times I say that very quickly, and I talk to people afterward, and they say, "Boy, you gave the number so quick I couldn't get it, so I'm going to give it to you one more time." That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I want to make sure you have that so that you have an opportunity to speak with Dr. Mohler yourself when he calls into the program. That's one of the reasons why we do so many of the interviews that we do. In fact, I do about 100 interviews per year now. And so I've tried to do that so that you have the opportunity to speak with some of the leading Christian authors and Christian leaders in evangelicalism today. I want to give you the opportunity to be able to do that, to interact and engage with these folks, and so you're going to get that opportunity on the broadcast today. Dr. Mohler actually has two books out. He has a book, Culture Shift, that we'll be talking about today, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truths, but he also has another one out called Atheism Remix, Christian Confronts the New Atheism. I have both those books with me in the studio today, and when you call in with your questions or your comments today, we're going to go ahead and reserve a copy of this book for you, at least while supplies last here in the studio. I want to mention a couple of other things. First of all, the movie Fireproof is coming out on the 23rd. I don't know if you've heard much about this. It's now running TV commercials, and I run a commercial, an audio commercial during the Knowing the Truth radio program. It's going to be released on the 23rd. This is from the same folks that brought you Facing the Giant. That was very well received. And these folks have again come out with another film here, and this one deals with marriage. It's called Fireproof, Fireproof Your Marriage. You'll probably hear that ad run during the program today. Well, I want to let you know that I've got some tickets for you so that you can see this film, especially tickets for anybody in our audience who obviously just want to see the film, but specifically, if you know someone who is maybe having some marital problems, this would be a great film for you to provide the tickets for them to go see this. The good folks out there at Whitfield Baptist Church in Anderson have provided some tickets for me to give away today. So I have two sets of two tickets each. This is for the Amstar 14 Theater in Anderson. It's right on Civic Center Road, or Civic Center Boulevard, I should say, in Anderson. And so we'll be giving those away. Isaac is running the, not only producing the show, but also running the phones there as well. So when you call in, Let Isaac know whether you want the tickets or you want the book, either one, and we'll be sure to reserve those for you. Or if you live further away, we'll even send those to you. If you do live further away, if you're listening via the internet, and I know that a number of folks are listening through the sermon audio account today. If you're listening that way, we will send the book to you. But when you call in with your question or comment, you need to make sure that you get the email address, my email address, in order to send me the address that that needs to be turned to. So make sure you do that if you call in for the book or for a comment or a question today. Let me, for the folks locally here, let me let you know about a couple of events that are coming up here locally. First of all, next week, this same day on Thursday, the Pastors Fellowship of Greater Greenville, which is a ministry of Ligonier Ministries, that we'll be having our September meeting over at North Hills Community Church. Dan Kruver is going to be speaking there. Dan is with Together for Adoption. Together for Adoption hosts regional conferences on the subject of theological adoption as well as physical adoption, how the one fuels the other in the church. Dan does an excellent job of articulating this. He's going to be our speaker at the September Pastors Fellowship. It's only $10 to attend. That includes lunch. And get this, give you a $15 book just for signing up and coming to the meeting. We're going to give you Joel Beakey's book about the Puritans on adoption. The title of that book is called Heirs with Christ. And Dan Kruver wrote the foreword for that book. So this is a no-brainer. You sign up, you get a free lunch then, you get a book handed to you for $10, and it's a $15 value on the book, and so you're making out here. Plus, we've got other things that we'll be giving away, door prizes we'll be giving away at that event as well. Now, that Together for Adoption conference that is coming up, that's going to have Russell Moore, that's going to have Carl Robbins, Richard Phillips from Second Pres, and then also Tullian Trevigian is going to be speaking at that event as well. It's a great conference going to be coming up right here at Southside Fellowship. All of that information you can find out on our website, which is www.knowingthetruth.org. That's www.knowingthetruth.org, and they're all listed right there under the upcoming events. Now, after those items, let me just tell you about some upcoming broadcasts that are coming up here. First of all, next week on Tuesday, D.A. Carson will be with me on the broadcast, and we'll be talking about Christ and Culture Revisited. It's his book, and we'll be focusing in on that book and certain chapters in that book. You won't want to miss that. David Powelson is up next on the 23rd. Be talking about Facing Death with Hope. He's written a little booklet about this subject. He's written many, many other booklets and articles, just a prolific writer and a wonderful counselor. After that, September 25th, Colin Hansen will be with me talking about Young, Restless, and Reformed. That will be a good broadcast to start setting the tone for October, which, of course, is Reformation Month. And then to open up the door for Reformation Month, Dr. Steve Lawson will be with me, and we'll be talking about the expository genius of John Calvin. So I've got a great lineup of broadcasts for you. All of those and the specific content that we'll be covering during those broadcasts is all available out on our website at www.knowingthetruth.org. And so just that's the place to go to find out all the information. Hey, by the way, with the broadcast today, if you go out to our www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth website, when you go out there, we actually have a copy of the seventh chapter that we're going to be discussing today, the chapter on terrorism in Dr. Moeller's book. The good folks at Multnomah have made that available to you. It's a sample chapter. You can go out there and read that chapter before purchasing the book. We'll be back in just a couple moments with our special guests. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
I'm Isaac Feinman. Join Pastor Kevin Bowling this Thursday for a very special edition of Knowing the Truth. His guest, Dr. Albert Moeller, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Together, they'll be discussing Islamic terrorism and the lessons learned from 9/11. For more information, you can log on to knowingthetruth.org. And you can also have this phone number ready to call in to speak with Dr. Moeller. Toll free, 1-888-660-WLFJ. Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
The easiest way to teach math is money. In this day of credit cards, too few children handle real money. To teach your child the basics of adding and subtracting, just give a few coins at the checkout counter and say, "Buy me some gum, please." Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
Hey, Ruth, what's going on?
Hey, how you been?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, with the gas prices and everything, I just filled the tank of my car, and I spent almost my whole rent for this month.
Yeah, I know. Those gas prices are just outrageous. But you know what? I heard about CDBs. Not only do they have great pizza, but if you bring your gas receipt in, you get a dollar off.
Oh, that's great.
So you can take your whole family, have a great night, and still have some money left for gas money.
Oh, that's great.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. And don't forget to bring your gas receipt for a dollar off the already amazing low price. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
This is Dr. Susan Stegall of Healthy Alternatives, heard each Tuesday at 12:30. If you are experiencing digestive problems such as acid reflux, you are unable to absorb the nutrients needed for health, and medications only silence the symptoms rather than resolve the problem. Colon cancer is the third most common cancer for both men and women, and the diagnosis is preceded by poor digestion. Put a stop to poor digestion before it becomes fatal. Call Integrative Health Group at 864-235-6788.
September 11, 2001. Your mind takes you back to where you were as the world stood still and watched.
But I turned around and it just, the second building just exploded.
A horrific sequence of destruction. None of us will ever forget this day.
You remember the terror of that horrific day. And we offer thanks to those who fight for our continued freedom. May God continue to bless America. Remembering 9/11. Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this special edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. We're going to be talking with Dr. Albert Moeller in just a moment. Getting Dr. Moeller on the line, and when he's on, then we'll go ahead and talk with him about his book, Culture Shift, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truths. Dr. Moeller, I should say, serves as the ninth president of the Southern Seminary and as the Joseph Emerson Brown Professor of Christian Theology. He's considered a leader among American evangelicals by Time and Christianity Today magazines. Dr. Moeller hosts a daily radio program for the Salem Radio Network. That's the same network that this program is coming to you on. And also writes a popular daily commentary on moral, cultural, and theological issues. And both of those things can be accessed at his website, which is www.albertmoeller.com. Let's bring Dr. Moeller into the conversation today. Dr. Moeller, it's great to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Kevin, it's an honor to be with you.
Dr. Moeller, I thought that maybe it would be great to have you talk a little bit about, just as we set this up, about why you wrote this book, just generally speaking, Culture Shift and what you were trying to achieve in writing it. And then I was hoping we can zero in on Chapter 7 that deals with terror itself.
Sure. Well, that's certainly appropriate given the today's date, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As we think about the 7th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. I wrote the Culture Shift book, and it's really the first of a trilogy of three books because I think it's important that Christians understand that we are living in a time that represents a real massive shift in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what happens when the tectonic plates of the Earth's surface begin to shift. You realize something's changed, and it appears permanently so. In other words, we have a new set of realities we have to face. And in terms of the culture, the shift from a pre-modern to a modern to a postmodern culture, has brought tremendous challenges to the Christian church. So the book really includes specific references to some of those challenges, and then a more philosophical approach to how we as Christians should really think about our relationship to the culture.
Hmm. Specifically, as we were saying, we're turning our attention to think about terror and all that terror teaches, as you name this chapter in Chapter 7. And let me remind our readers or our listeners here today that they can go out to our website at www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. And the seventh chapter has been provided to us by the folks at Multnomah, and so you can go out there and read this seventh chapter and whet your appetite for the rest of the book, and then you can go out to Multnomah or Amazon and get a copy of the book yourself. Dr. Moley, you mentioned in the very beginning of this chapter that we're living in dangerous times, but far too often Americans seem to have forgotten this unforgiving fact. They seem to have a propensity, or we do, in American culture, and we have this propensity to forget. Is that that's certainly a problem, especially when we're thinking about something like this with 9/11, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, forgetting is a human problem. It's a Genesis 3 problem. We tend to remember what we ought to forget and forget what we ought to remember. But we tend to forget some of the things that are most important. And let me just draw a distinction here. If you lived in the 16th century or even the 15th or 17th centuries, just to choose one time, we always look to that, the Reformation, a flowering of art and culture and all the rest. But, you know, most of those people worried every day that they would die that very day. Death was so close at hand. All it took was an accident. There was really no way to treat many things. You know, they didn't even know what germs were. Plague could have come to a village and wipe it out within days. Things they didn't even understand would kill them. And so they worried about death every day. You know, Kevin, one of the problems we face today is that we don't worry about that. And so we can forget. We don't worry about marauding bands of barbarians, you know, across the countryside, you know, ransacking our village and killing people and all the rest. And so we live in a false comfort. Now, I'm thankful. Let me be very clear. I'm thankful living in a time we don't have to worry about those things by God's grace. It's a providential gift. But we better not forget that evil is out there. And I was shocked when the 9/11 event took place, not only by the fact that it happened, but by the fact that so many people were absolutely unequipped to deal with the fact that human beings had intended this kind of evil and then carried it out.
You make me think of that verse. I think it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that speaks about that it's more profitable to go to a funeral than it is to go to a party. It's not to, in a morbid sense, but just that it is very profitable for us to face our own mortality, to go through thinking about these things, that this life isn't all that there is, that their eternity, we're racing towards eternity at breakneck speed, and those are certainly healthy thoughts. You mentioned that as the first lesson in your book that terror has taught us to accept reality. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Well, reality, as the old joke goes, is a tough concept for some people, because reality makes us leave our illusions behind and deal with what's real rather than what may be hoped for or imagined. And there was a false sense of security on the part of the American people. And, you know, Americans, by and large, have bought into the myth of inevitable progress. Things are always getting better. And, you know, they've even perniciously extended this to human nature. Human nature is getting better and better. And, you know, we look in the mirror and think, boy, we look like we're getting better and better. We dress ourselves up. We've done tremendous things in this culture. We can send a man to the moon and get him back. We can do these phenomenal things. And then out of the blue, literally, come these airliners built, you know, just to transport people and buildings built to hold people safely. And people flew those planes in, terrorists, as they're rightly called, flew those planes, those jet aircraft, majestic, incredible things to see in the air, flew them into these tall buildings and killed thousands of people. And we, if we think that that reveals something about human nature we didn't know, then shame on us. Because especially Christians are people who know that the first reality about human beings is that we're made in the image of God, and the second is that we are sinners, and that this will work out. I can understand secular Americans really buying into this idea of an improved human nature. I can't understand American Christians buying into that notion.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about the fact of, you know, that this broke into almost a surreal day, like you say, that we're going along, where we think that we're safe and secure, and all of a sudden something like this unexpectedly happens. There's a tremendous lesson here just for life in general, isn't there, that you know, we're not safe from a brain hemorrhage. We're not safe from something taking place unexpected in a loss of a job. It doesn't have to be death itself, but just something that we didn't really anticipate in this life coming into our life. And for the Christian, we should be prepared for those types of events that take place in our life.
Absolutely. You know, we have this illusion of comfort and safety, but we do not even have the ability to know what's going on in our bodies. I mean, twice in the last 2 years, I've been handed a diagnosis I had no expectation about. They found a tumor in me. I didn't perceive the tumor. I didn't go to the doctor and say, I think I have a tumor. They did a test and found it. I had this deadly thing in me I didn't even know. And that's just another sign of how naive we can be. But, you know, I think of Jonathan Edwards, Kevin, and in his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, he said that humanity is like a man walking across a net covered with leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he thinks it's solid ground.
Yeah.
But all there is this very thin thing between ourselves and eternal judgment. And that's not the way Americans think. It's really not. And if we're honest, that's not the way many American evangelical Christians think. They sit in the pew and sing the songs and hear the word and go about their lives, do the things that Christians do, but they're not really living every single moment in light of eternity.
Your second point in the book, you point out that this terror has taught us to distinguish between good and evil. This is especially pertinent in light of the debate, if you will, or the forum that took place there with Rick Warren out there at Saddleback, where this particular question was asked, you know, do you believe in evil and what is evil? And I thought it was surprising, at least in the first answer by the first candidate there, that Al-Qaeda wasn't mentioned. And yet we had this horrendous attack, as you point out in your book, just when you see this again, just the viciousness of this attack against us, and I'd like your thoughts on that. Just speak about the way that people think about evil in our society today, and maybe even more specifically about that comment.
Yeah, the comment itself of Senator Obama reflected the fact that he was very reticent to point to a specific example of evil. And, you know, even when you start thinking about Christians should answer this, are there evil people in the world? Our answer has to be yes. You're talking to one. The Bible says that we are all evil. And, you know, Americans just recoil at that. That sounds so oppressive, repressive, intolerant, and maybe even psychologically sick in this day of the psychotherapeutic. But that's what the Bible says. The Bible says there are some people who give themselves to evil. So, you know, in other words, one of the things every human being has to learn is, yes, I have evil intentions in my heart, but I can't do that. From, you know, pushing the kid down on the playground when you're very young to far more serious things when you're old. But, you know, there are some people who learn all the wrong lessons. They give themselves over to evil. And so you press some, you know, very, I would say, politically correct Americans, and they'll say they don't even believe in human evil. As a matter of fact, I talked to a professor on my radio program just a couple of years ago who said that he had done an experiment with the 18-year-olds in his class saying, do you believe that human beings are evil? And almost none of them did. And when he pressed them, they said, well, maybe someone like Adolf Hitler. So, in other words, they think of evil as something so bizarre that it takes a Hitler to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, just think of what's going on right down the street. There's a man abusing a child. That is evil. There is a man plotting, to cheat on his taxes. That's evil. Mm-hmm. You know, you just go from place to place. The 9/11 attacks really awakened a lot of Americans because they hadn't called anything seriously evil since, maybe World War II.
Hmm.
And now they couldn't have any other category for this. You couldn't argue. And by the way, Kevin, this is something that's very interesting about the 9/11 attacks. All the original explanations turned out to be wrong. These were not men who came from economic deprivation. They were people who came from very comfortable economic situations. They were not uneducated. They were highly educated. So As more and more was discovered in the days after the attack, Americans had to come to terms with the fact that these were people of privilege who plotted evil. And eventually, even the people that didn't want to use the word found it inevitable. There just was no other word for it.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit more subtlety, I guess, is it's led to this non-judgmentalism in our society today. I find it ironic that we refuse, or the media refuses, to show the events of 9/11. I find it startling that in the recent Democratic convention there in Denver that they don't mention these things. They would, I guess, that there was very little mention of the actual word victory, you know, because of this idea of this non-judgmentalism built into our culture today.
You know, the non-judgmentalism is based in the premise that human beings are not morally accountable for what we do. And, you know, it goes back even early in the 20th century to people like Clarence Darrow, the famous defense attorney, who argued that human beings were not morally accountable because it was a matter of simple determinism. We did what previous events and influences and all the rest led us to do. The soft version of that these days is the psychotherapeutic,
mm-hmm.
where we're not responsible because we were weaned too early or too late. We had this experience and we didn't have that experience. And I'll tell you why this is so insidious. It's because people who would never do these things join in the rationalization because it makes it easier for them to live with the evil that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if I can argue that this mass murderer or that this this criminal or this person, this governor of New York who lost his position due to a dalliance with a prostitute, if I can argue that they weren't really morally responsible, that it was some kind of psychotherapeutic problem, then I can find it a lot easier to justify where I cut corners and where I give in to what I know to be sin. So it's a process. This non-judgmentalism, of course, just doesn't work when you try to really apply it to life. You know, just try to actually do that in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like I point out, you know, try to be the parent of a toddler and make that work.
Right.
It just won't work.
Exactly. It doesn't work in the real world. I mean, it's just a pipe dream by so many people that are trying to push that non-judgmentalism, although it doesn't seem to be a problem when the Christian church is being judged. Let me mention that there are actually five lessons in this particular chapter that we're talking about in your book. The third one that you bring out, one that I think is really gets to the core of understanding what was taking place there on 9/11, because we heard so many people say, you know, where was God on 9/11? And my answer, I don't mean to be glib to this, but just trying to get to the same point that you write about here in the book is, well, God was at the same place he was on 9/10, as he was on 9/12, that talking about the idea that God is ultimately sovereign and in control. Speak about that, if you would, please.
Well, we really do have to reduce the options here. Either we have God or we do not have God. And if God does exist, by definition, he is in control. The God of the Bible explicitly claims to be in control, demonstrates that he is in control. He doesn't decide he's going to be in control one moment and then forfeit that control the next. He takes responsibility for the entirety of his creation. And, you know, this kind of soft theology that has, it's really a soft liberalism that has crept into a lot of American Christianity, assumes that God is powerful but not necessarily all-powerful. He's sort of sovereign, but he's not really sovereign. And the reason we want that is because if God is totally sovereign, then guess what? We're not.
Mm.
And so, you know, when you start thinking about, you know, the question of God, most people, of course, never ask that question when they sit down to eat a meal in comfort. They don't ask, why, of all the people on the earth, do I have this privilege right this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they turn it around when they feel that they have suffered some kind of evil or injury, and they say, why, of all the people on the planet, have I suffered this? And, you know, the reality is the same answer applies to both. God has a purpose in this for you. And for believers in Christ, we're told that God has a purpose for our good. And it's our task to find God's purpose in that, find his glory in that, and find our faithfulness in that.
Amen. And, of course, it certainly comes into play at the very initial stages here of salvation. The grace of God is such a wonderful message. This past week, we were preaching at a nursing home here in the area, and we were talking about the monuments of God's grace, those 12 stones that were brought out of the River Jordan when the children of Israel crossed over, 12 left in the Jordan, speaking, of course, about sins forgiven and forgotten, 12 built up on the bank after they come out, first steps into the promised land, and there is this memorial of the grace of God, so that when our children come and ask, what mean these stones, we're to then recount the wonderful deliverance that God has done in our life. Of course, for the Israelites, what he had done specifically in delivering them from Egypt, but extrapolated that out into the principle that's there, the wonderful grace of God that's been shed abroad in our heart, and the deliverance that we have that he's provided for us in Christ. And so those types of lessons, we have a new memorial. We have a 9/11 memorial where the generations to come will be asking, what mean these stones? What is this memorial all about? And I hope that people, as they hear us going through these lessons that are learned, will have some of these ready in their mind, so that as the children ask, they'll be able to say to them, well, this reminds us of God's sovereignty. This reminds us of evil. This reminds us of the that reality is that we live in a fallen world, and all of these things that you bring out in the book. Let me remind our listeners that they're certainly welcome to call in to ask you a question before you need to go here at quarter to the top of the hour. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. If you'd like to ask Dr. Moeller a question or give a comment or a question on the program today. Dr. Moeller, the fourth one that you list here, the fourth lesson that we should learn from this event, is that it reminds us that the gospel itself has enemies in the world, that they didn't do this act for no reason whatsoever, but the gospel of Jesus Christ and the freedom that we enjoy in this country that can be tied to that, certainly this played a role in this attack as well.
And we don't have to take that on our instinct. Those who committed this act said that. They identified America as a Christian nation. They identified Christianity as a core part of the problem that they saw in America. And in something of a reprise of the crusading era of the medieval world, they launched an attack on that basis. And, of course, that's just a reminder to us that right now the nations that are really most closed to the gospel are not the communist nations, but the Islamic nations. The nations right now where it's most dangerous to be a Christian are the Islamic-dominated nations. The nations where it is a capital crime to convert from Islam to anything else, including Christianity. That's primarily in these Muslim nations. And so you look at that and you realize the gospel has enemies, and it was so from the beginning. And we shouldn't expect that it should be anything otherwise now. You know, Jesus himself made that clear. The apostles experienced that in their own lives, and we shouldn't be surprised. You know, the wake-up call of 9/11 was one of those things that should embarrass us now. We should look back and say, not that we should have seen that particular attack coming. That's not what most of us are about. We're not sifting through intelligence files trying to see what might be coming. It's our worldview that's really at stake here. We should see evil as a very near and present danger, and we should see that the gospel itself, which is the only message that overcomes evil, it has enemies. There are those who would rather delight in the absence of the gospel than in the presence of it.
You know, that really comes into play with all of the ecumenism that we see today, that people making no distinction about the gospel of Jesus Christ that we find in his word and any other religion that we find upon the face of the earth. Of course, we see there are major distinctions here. You just wrote a blog that was very interesting yesterday. The title of the blog was Alert the Media, a Pastor Believes in Hell. And, of course, we see all of this attacks coming against the governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, and one of the things was, you know, that they're pointing out, guess what, you know, she had a pastor that actually preached a sermon dealing with hell. And so we've got to be very, very careful about this idea of ecumenism in our society today, that You know, just religion is not good enough. It needs to be the revealed revelation of Jesus Christ found in his word. And we shouldn't be ashamed about the exclusivity of salvation found in Christ alone. Is that true?
Well, that's absolutely true. That's the gospel. The gospel is not a gospel that sets forth the cross of Christ as one way among others, or one option among others. Faith in Christ is presented as the only means of our salvation based upon the accomplished work of Christ on the cross.
Amen.
And you start looking at this Newsweek story, and what caught my eye was not just the article, it was the scare quotes. And, you know, in print journalism, a scare quote is a bold statement that's put under a photograph or under a headline that's supposed to really get your attention. And what Lisa Miller, the author of this Belief Watch column in Newsweek, evidently thought, or her editors, was that the statement that Sarah Palin's pastor believes that those who do not come to faith in Christ will go to hell, that's supposed to get your attention so that readers would be so appalled by that that they'd be attracted to read the rest of the article.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that extremely revealing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things she said in there is that kind of message is typical of the, quote, religious right, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just pointed out that's typical of Christianity.
Yeah.
And I'm an evangelical Christian, and I understand the difference between evangelical Christianity and Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. But let me just point out that even the Orthodox and the Roman Catholics hold to the reality of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so to tie this to the religious right, it just shows the sheer ignorance of secular America.
Mm-hmm.
But it also tells us that the faith we hold concerning faith alone as the ground of our justification through Christ alone, and when we come to understand that Christ alone means there is no other way, we are standing way outside the mainstream of American culture.
Your final point here in the book, which is closely connected to what we were just mentioning, is that spirituality, which is talked about so much in our society today, is no substitute for the Christian faith. It's not just good enough to be, you can be religious and not be right with God. Speak to that a little bit, if you would, please.
The night before last, I was standing in one of the major bookstores in our community looking at the magazine section. And in this secular bookstore, the magazine section where you might find something like a Christian magazine was entitled Spirituality. And I started looking at this, and I found no distinctively Christian materials, by the way. But spirituality, I can tell you, is big business. Peter Berger, the great sociologist of religion, who had years ago really put forth the secularization theory, suggesting that Americans would give up on religion over time. He's now redefined that. He said they didn't give up on religion. They just gave up on Christianity. They're into all kinds of spiritualities. You know, and spirituality is what's left when Christianity departs. When people don't want Christianity, because Christianity makes specific truth claims. For instance, Christianity starts with the bad news that we're a sinner. If you're going to come up with your own spirituality, you can just make it about whatever you want to make it. Harmonic convergence, meditating on rocks, you know, painting little pictures of angels. You can come up with anything that fits your narcissistic self. And if there's anything Americans know how to do, it's how to please our narcissistic selves.
Mm-hmm.
We can go into the car dealership, buy a car just the way we want it. We can fill our lives with all the stuff just the way we want it, and we think we ought to be able to have a spirituality that has the stuff in it we want and doesn't have the stuff in it we don't want. And that's just incompatible with Christianity.
Mm. Dr. Moeller, I'm finished with the 5 points that you mentioned in your book, and we only have a couple minutes before we agreed to let you go, but I just didn't know if you wanted to just make some comment. You write about it a little bit in your blogs, but the vicious attacks that we're seeing against the vice presidential candidate in this election, Governor Palin, from a number of different angles. I mean, that's a program in and of itself, but you've been writing about it, and so I didn't know if you just wanted to make some sort of comment about what we're seeing there before we end this portion of the broadcast today.
Oh, Kevin, gladly. I tell you, those attacks are telling us a great deal, not only about how the mainstream media look at someone like the Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, how they look at evangelical Christians. They see us as cultural oddities. What you find is that they think, and then this is where I think the liberal media is completely misfiring here. They think that the more Americans get to know about this woman and her evangelical faith, the less they will like her. The reality is that even in this confused but postmodern age, more Americans are attracted to that than repulsed by it.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to the fact that the people who are in the main writing and editing these magazines and the news programs and all the rest, they live in an insulated liberal elite, a very secular elite, where the fact that someone would believe that people who don't come to faith in Christ would go to hell is literally unthinkable. This media attack, and it's a barrage and it's not going to end, tells us just how threatened the world is by evangelical Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, we're in good ground. We're with the apostles. You know, it's just exactly what they said in the book of Acts. These men who have upended the world have come here also. In the right sense, Christianity is a threat to all the wrong things in the world that people cherish. And, you know, people know it.
Amen. Care to venture a prediction about that election in November?
Well, I guarantee you that is not within my skill set to predict the future. But I can tell you that one thing's for certain, this election and its outcome will tell us a great deal about who we are as a nation. And we really need to pray that God will demonstrate his grace to us in giving us the leadership that we need for this strategic hour.
Amen. Well put. Dr. Albert Mohler, Culture Shift, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truth, put out by Multnomah. You can go out to multnomah.com. I'm sorry, www.mpbooks.com. You can go out to their website to get one, and you can also go out onto Amazon or wherever you buy books. I'm sure you can find it at those locations as well. Dr. Mohler, thank you very much for being with us on the program today. We would love to get you back again to talk about Atheism Remix. That's certainly a subject in and of itself with the rise of the aggressive atheism. And we just want to thank you for taking the time out to be with us on the program today.
Kevin, it's great to be with you. You just give me a call, and I'll be glad to come back and talk about Atheism Remix. God bless you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to hold you to that. We'll see you.
Very good.
Okay. Well, that was Dr. Albert Mohler. We were talking about his first book, which is called Culture Shift. You know, I was reading a review of this book online by Tim Challies, who always does such a wonderful job of book reviews. And Tim said the first thing that he found ironic about the book was that this was Dr. Mohler's first book, because he writes so much in blogs and articles and speaks so much around the country. But this is an excellent, excellent book about thinking about all of these issues that are taking place in our culture today, thinking about them and thinking biblically about each and every one of these things. It's called Culture Shift. You can read the one chapter out on our website. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
I saw people jumping out of off the building.
An indescribable scene of death and destruction.
Memories flash before our eyes.
We got another tower collapse.
The terror remains painted in our minds.
Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror.
In our constant struggle for freedom, we fix our eyes upon the one who has broken all the chains and conquered the very sting of death. Remembering 9/11, we're Christian Talk 660.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
We all spend too much time in the car, right? How about making the back seat a quick study hall? Jason, what's the capital of Utah? Kyla, what's 6 times 9? A few minutes here and there really add up, and short reviews are actually better than hours of study. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
As a firefighter, Caleb Holt is a hero.
Ma'am, I'm Captain Holt from the Albany Fire Department. We're going to get you out of here.
We have a car on the train track.
Let's go, let's go! 1, 2, 3!
But his home life is a different story.
Catherine and I were in love when we got married. But today, we're two very different people.
We fight more than we do anything else.
Now, in order to give his marriage the second chance it deserves,
I want you to hold off on the divorce for 40 days.
He must reach within to a place he never thought to look.
I'm going to send you something in the mail. Take one day at a time.
Every day has me adding a new concept to the way I treat her.
My advice is go all out.
With each day comes a new challenge.
You know, Caleb, you're not fooling anybody.
This whole love dare thing, it's not working.
And each challenge is harder than the next. From the creators of Facing the Giants, Kirk Cameron.
Marriages aren't fireproof. Sometimes you get burned.
Fireproof. Never leave your partner behind. In theaters September 26th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Life-changing words to live by. Christian Talk 660. Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of our special program today. That was Dr. Albert Moeller that we were just speaking to on the air live. Appreciate so much, Dr. Moeller. Of course, he's extremely busy. He's on CNN, he's on Fox News, he's on Time Magazine, Christianity Today. I mean, just all over the place. He has done a tremendous job of really taking the lead. In fact, one article I was reading talked about him being one of the leading intellectual evangelicals in our postmodern culture today. You know, we've mentioned on the program before, we're dialoguing and discussing some issues. We just said that, you know, a lot of the leaders in the Christian church were getting up there in years, and some of them, you know, during this past year have even passed off the scene, have gone home to glory. And so we're just wondering, you know, who is God going to raise up in our time, in our generation, to take the mantle, to, you know, take that place of leadership in the evangelical community. And we're so thankful for people that God has raised up, like Dr. Moeller, who really are doing just a tremendous job of articulating the truth, about articulating the gospel unashamedly on all of these programs that I was just mentioning, but even going beyond that and teaching Christians how to look at the scriptures and then look at what is taking place in our society and how they should evaluate those things based upon what the Word of God says. We're so thankful for people like him. All I got to say is to you folks that were listening, and I told you you could call in and talk to Dr. Mullen, you're chickens. No. you can still get a book. A lot of times folks don't call in because they're just listening to what he was saying, and I was doing that myself during the broadcast as much as possible. But let me tell you, I got a couple books here still left in the studio, so if you want to get one, you want to call in quickly. Maybe you were traveling during 9/11. Maybe you were on a plane during that day. I remember myself. We'd love to hear your story. Let me finish that thought first. But I remember myself. I was working in an office during that time. Stephen Lee, who is the person, the founder of SermonAudio.com, was working with me. Stephen had his computer going. He was sitting at his desk, I think his laptop. And he all of a sudden, you know, as I was walking by his cubicle there in the office, he said to me, boy, a plane has just flown into the World Trade Center. And so I was watching this. So we were watching some live clips on his computer. And at that point in time, you know, it was very vague as to exactly what happened. How big was the plane? You know, frankly, I think everybody had kind of concluded in the very beginning that it was a small plane, maybe a Cessna type of thing or whatever. And then they're showing more and more of the damage and showing the smoke pouring out of it. And suddenly we're all realizing that wait a second, this could be something much bigger. And then sure enough, right there on live TV, the other plane flies into the other building. And immediately we knew what was taking place, that this was a terrorist attack. And one of the girls in the office that was standing there watching this with us began to just weep. She had friends. She had worked in the World Trade Center for a number of years, and her friends were still there working in those offices. So she was frantically trying to call people on the phone to find out if they were there or to find out if they had still been working on those jobs. I mean, it was a very, very emotional time as we were watching these things, just stunned by what was taking place. I don't know about you, but my eyes were upon the sky. We didn't know, you know, if there were more planes in the air. I personally thought, you know, this was 9/11. I thought 9/12, there was going to be another attack, and 9/13, something else. I mean, do you remember that time period? The uncertainty of what was going on really was just thick in the air during that time. And so that was just just a unique time in the life of our country. I think it's such a travesty that, you know, they don't remind us of this, that they refuse to play these things very often on the television screen. They don't like to show the images. I don't mean in a morbid sense again, but I think that it's just healthy to remember what is taking place, what has taken place in our country, and how then we have gotten to the place that we're at, you know, with a number of things, the Patriot Act, the way that we go through airports now, and all of these things that take place. So I just think it's very healthy to put these things into context, and so that we remember, don't forget what is taking place. Americans and Christians in general, we have this uncanny and this ungodly propensity to forget what has happened. Don't forget these things. Keep them in your mind as we're going forward, because as Dr. Moeller was showing us, you know, we can draw lessons, biblical, scriptural lessons from each of these items that takes place in our culture, as well as we think about them biblically. I mentioned also Dr. Moeller's second book. It's called Atheism Remix. That one is put out by Crossway Books, and you can go out on the Crossway's website and find out more about that. It's A Christian Confronts the New Atheism. We've been talking about this in our Wednesday evening services at church, and talking about the subject of just the aggressive atheism. Been going through Nancy Piercy's book, Total Truth. We're about halfway through that. And just last night, to augment our study, we watched Icons of Evolution in that service. And so looking at a couple of the things that she mentions during that book. Let me mention just a couple of the things that we're doing at the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, things that may be of interest to you. In our Sunday school lesson on Sunday morning, we have just started to look at the subject of discernment, something that is so necessary in our churches today, I think, in Christian life today, is how do you tell what is right and wrong? How do you tell what is good and evil, as we were talking about on the program with Dr. Moeller today? How do you make decisions about what you should do in your life, what job you should take, what person you should marry, what church you should attend? How do you make these decisions? Well, we're going through a fairly lengthy 6 or 7 week study on the subject of discernment. How do we use the scriptures in a way to guide us and guard us as we go through this life? So that's our Sunday school lesson. We just started last week with some introductory thoughts on our discussion, gave an outline of where we would be going in the next 6 or 7 weeks. And so if you're interested in that, I just want to make that available to you. Let me give you the phone number for the church. The phone number for the church is 444-4539. That's 444-4539. You can also go out to the knowingthetruth.org website, and on the right-hand column, there's a logo for the church, MBBF. You can click on that, and that'll take you to our website, and then it'll give you directions as well. In our morning worship service, we've been studying, doing an expository study through the book of Colossians. We're currently in Colossians chapter 3. We have just looked at the opening few verses there in chapter 3. The idea that the Apostle Paul tells us to seek those things that are above, and then just 4 verses later, he tells us to slay or to mortify those things upon the face of the earth, our members or our sins, basically, upon the face of the earth. So we've been looking at those two, that contrast that the Apostle Paul has there in Colossians chapter 3, and we'll continue in that study this week as well. So I just want to make that available to you so you know what we're studying, if that's of interest to you. If you're looking for a church out in the Traveler's Rest area, then they're one you may want to come on by and just visit with us. We'd love to have you there on Sunday morning. Also, I mentioned at the top of the broadcast a couple of the programs that are coming up. We talked about culture today. Well, we'll talk about culture again next Tuesday, and this time I'll be doing it with D.A. Carson. Of course, D.A. Carson is a well-known name in evangelicalism today. He's a very, very good writer and has spoken about these things. We'll be talking about his most recent book called Christ and Culture Revisited, looking at these things from a biblical perspective. And then David Powelson will be with me on the 23rd, and with David Powelson, we'll be looking at a common denominator among all of us. We'll be looking at the idea of facing death with hope. You know, death is coming. We talked a little bit about that today. It's coming to each and every one of us. It's this great equalizer, this great common denominator, no matter what race you are, what religion you are, what strata you find yourself in economically in this world. Death is coming to each and every one of us, and we've got to know how we can face that with hope. And with David Powelson, we'll be talking about that most important area. I want to thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at